It's 10 o'clock. This is Commissioner Lesko. Do we have any commissioners on the call?
Deb Bennett Woods is here.
Hey, Deb. Hi, did someone just join us?
Hi, this is Ann McKenzie with Silver Key Senior Services in Colorado Springs. I serve as a guardian here for individuals in El Paso County.
Hi, thanks for joining us. We're just waiting to see if if more commissioners will be joining right now. There are only two commissioners on the call.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to go ahead and put this on mute then. Thanks.
Okay, great. Thank you. Debbie, are you on?
I am.
No, thanks. And Sophia?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, we'll just wait a few more minutes and see if Commissioner Shiat and Commissioner Zed join.
Good morning, this is Commissioner Zinn.
Hello.
Hi, this is America.
Hi, America. We're just going to give it another couple of minutes and see if Commissioner Shiat joins. Okay, well, this is Commissioner Lesko. Let's go ahead and get started with introduction. Shiat is able to join. Debbie, I believe with commissioners we have a quorum.
We do, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, let's start with the commissioners. This is Kelsey Lesko.
This is Commissioner Allison Zinn.
Commissioner Bennett Woods.
Okay. AG's office and OPG staff.
Good morning. This is Debbie Yank, Assistant Attorney General.
Sophia Alvarez.
Camille Price, Public
Buzz,
Guardian.
Lestrenda.
I got Camille, and was there someone after Camille?
America Paz Pastrana.
Sorry about that. All right. Are there any others or other members of the public?
This is Jim Tatton, and I am representing myself.
Hello, Mr. Tatton.
Hi, this is Ann McKenzie, Guardian at Silver Key Senior Services in Colorado Springs.
Hello.
Connie Rayleigh with the Ark of Aurora.
Maureen Welch, activist, member of the public.
All right. Is there anyone else who has not had an opportunity to introduce themselves? Okay. Then we'll just start with the agenda. We have some pretty significant discussion today, so I'm hoping Commissioner Hyatt can join us. So first item is, first let me say that if you're not speaking, please put your phones on mute in order to prevent any feedback, and also that this meeting is recorded. So the first item on the agenda is approval of the December 15th minutes. Have the commissioners had an opportunity to review the minutes?
Yes.
All right. Do we have any changes or edits?
No.
Nope.
Then I'll hear a motion to approve the minutes.
This is Commissioner Zinn. I so move.
Second.
Commissioner Bennett, what, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, the minutes are approved. All right, so the next item on the agenda is the chair report. And, you know, I think it would be helpful, since we are supposed to get a vice chair today and one of the commissioners is missing at the moment, start with item B, which is the discussion of the oversight role of the commission and amendment to the bylaws. Commissioners, have you had an opportunity to review the document I provided that sort of outlined at least what I have heard about our discussions of what the appropriate oversight role of the commission is and what would make people feel comfortable? Hi, did someone just join us?
Yeah, this is Marco Chayet.
Hi. Thank you for joining us. So
well,
we were just starting. No problem. We were just starting on the discussion of the oversight role of the commission. I moved the vice chair discussion to after this, so that all commissioners would be on. So the oversight role of the commission document is essentially something that I tried to put together based on my notes of what commissioners indicated they'd want to feel comfortable over the past year about. So this is what I heard. This isn't necessarily what was said, and I am open to edits. I don't have any pride of authorship here, so please let me know what you think. So start with the fiscal oversight. Do any of the commissioners have any comments on that?
This is Deb Bennett Woods. I think that that covers everything that I felt was important to have in there, and I think it's very clear.
I agree. This is Commissioner Zinn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nothing substantive on that for me.
Okay. All right. Then let's move down to the programmatic oversight. Do you have any comments on this section?
This is Commissioner Bennett Woods. Again, I thought that was very clear, and I would not have anything to add to it.
I agree. It's good.
I'm sorry. I'm getting into my notes to see, so I'm
sure.
Booting up. Just give me a second. I was on another matter. That's why I was running late, so I apologize. I will speak up as soon as this opens. It's slow on me.
Completely understandable. Debbie or Sophia, I know you've had a chance to review the document. Do you have any comments on this? Do you have any discussion? Do you think this is appropriate? Do you think it's too little, too much?
This is Debbie. I don't have any comments.
Good.
This is Sophia. I don't have any comments either. I'm comfortable with whatever the commission decides. Thank you.
Okay, great. Debbie, so for this, would we need a motion and approval to put it in the bylaws once we've, you know, finished discussion?
Yes, please.
This is Marco. I'm sorry, that took a little while to open.
No problem.
I had a reboot. On the programmatic oversight, while I don't have perhaps substantive changes, I have a question on when we say seeking advice of the commission, okay, so mm-hmm. providing, you have some that's providing notice, right, which is what we need. Mm-hmm. But when you say seeking advice, is that, will that then mean it gets set for an agenda item, we then discuss it, and then the commission is voting on something, approving something, or is just up for discussion? So seeking advice, do you see what I'm saying? It's a little, it gets a little bit nebulous for me, and I just want to make sure we don't have something set up where we're kind of spinning our wheels as to what does exactly seeking advice mean.
Yeah, I meant that for the seeking advice to be an advisory capacity only, so that the commission would, you know, it would be set as an agenda item, I suppose, and then the commission could provide information to the director as to whether or not they would, you know, approve or think any additions or changes to policies and procedures would be a good idea, but not something to vote on.
So it's to get commentary, insights, input from the commission, but ultimately our director obviously will take that for what it's worth and then implement, you know, under her duties and responsibilities.
Yeah, essentially, you know, for the policies and procedures of the office, you know, that can touch on so many different topics. You know, I wasn't sure if it was appropriate for the commission to be having, you know, authority over all of the policy and procedure changes for the office.
Well, I don't think we were set up that way. I just want clarification based on the last several years when we are discussing certain matters versus commission has to make an actual decision on something. So,
mm-hmm. So would you like a different wording there?
I don't have better wording necessarily. I just think it's going to be important that it's crystal clear.
This is Commissioner Bennett Woods. Would it help just simply to change the wording to serving in an advisory role?
As long as it's consistent with our charge under the statute, I think there's been some times where the commission was maybe, it wasn't as clear as to the absolute authority on certain items or what the director should make decisions on, and that, you know, we are advise. That's why you have a commission, right, to advise and give input, but it's not to question the ultimate decision process after we give advice.
Yeah, no, I understand. I did, I believe this is consistent with the statute. I also did ask Debbie to review it. So this should be consistent, but, you know, would wording such as, you know, as Commissioner Bennett would suggested, serving in an advisory capacity, the commission will be made aware of and comment on any changes to the policies and procedures of the office?
I do like, I mean, seeking advice is okay, so I'm not tripped up on the word. I just want to make sure that we understand the guardrails that we're operating in as the commission when those issues come before us.
Okay. The way I would word it is serve in an advisory role to the director on any additions or changes in to the policies and procedures.
Okay, serving an advisory capacity to the director?
The director, yeah.
Okay. All right. We can make that edit. But, Marco, your point is very well taken. I mean, the point of this is to provide clarity. You know, we really need those guardrails up to make sure that we're, you know, acting in appropriate fashion.
Yeah. The only other one I had circled, I'm trying to remember what I was thinking here, informing the chair of, oh, yeah. Okay, so on the one that informing the chair of any complaints, do we need to state the obvious, which is that the commission gets informed. In other words, it's not just going to the chair, and then the commissioners who are not the chair are not aware of it. That's not what you're intending whatsoever. I get that. But
okay.
is there something that we want in there with something that would be as sensitive as this, that the commissioners, not just the chair, are aware?
Excuse me, this is Maureen. Could you tell us what page you're referring to so that we can follow along, please? Thank you.
Page 2.
It's just page 2 of the oversight role proposal. And again, I'm not trying to get into the weeds too much, but we've seen when there is a lack of clarity on some of these sensitive issues that it can cause confusion or perhaps more time than maybe on certain things because we don't have that clarity. So I know it's detailed, but in circling and forming the chair, I think we need to put in there how the commission gets that. I know that's stating the obvious, but I'd like to be very transparent on these kinds of things getting to the commissioner's knowledge base. That doesn't mean you have to confuse, right? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. That the goal would be to have the commission informed. And this did occur to me. The reason why I wrote it like this, and Debbie, if you have some expertise you can lend here, I would appreciate it. The reason why I wrote informing the chair in the bylaws is simply because getting the commission together and getting complaints distributed to the commission can be so unwieldy. And I wanted to make sure that we had an avenue where complaints could quickly be directed to the commission. And I thought the chair was the easiest way to do that. And then, it's difficult because, what should be in the bylaws and what should be in a policy or procedure.
I'm
wondering if there's...
The chair shall inform... I'm sorry, I'm on the speaker, then it's kind of... It sort of pauses for a second every time someone speaks. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, please go ahead if you have an idea. I'd be happy to hear it.
I mean, perhaps, and again, policy, not bylaws, that informing the chair of any complaints against the director and complaints regarding the operation of the office or scope of services, and something along the lines that the chair shall inform the commission at the next meeting after chair is informed of a complaint. But, because some of this, there may be a need to respond or act in between commission meetings.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Right? So I think that just adding a sentence that the chair shall then inform the commission no later than the next scheduled commission meeting, right? Mm-hmm. Or if needed, I guess that you could call a special, meeting, if you will, as long as it's noticed up.
This is Commissioner Bennett Woods. That's starting to feel procedural to me, rather than the statement of scope of duties. I think the process is going to be maybe different for different things. In any event, we would always respond to any complaints, even if that response is to review it and determine that it doesn't require any additional action versus a response that would initiate some sort of further investigation. So I actually think it's more clear just to say, not even to have the chair in there, just to say that the part of the programmatic duties is to respond to any complaints in the rest of that sentence. That response really covers the entire... A response would uncover the entire scope of what might be necessary in any individual situation. I think if we try to get too detailed with that in there and put timelines and everything on it, the first thing that's going to come up is something that doesn't fit the timelines and the nature of the complaint. So,
well, you make a good point. Yeah.
More comfortable that less is more for the purpose of this particular document, that the bylaws just indicate that we have a responsibility to respond if there's some sort of complaint against the director or the operation of the office.
I think that makes sense, and that's why we have this discussion. And perhaps that goes more to the duties of the chair than the programmatic oversight. We start expanding it there. I could see some of the same kind of arguments on the other bullet points there. So that's why we're discussing it. And informing the chair, obviously the directors may have to act. Informing the chair is important, but there may be actions that have to be taken.
Yeah, so, this section would be, these bullet points kind of relate to the, what the director must report to the commission.
Yep.
Just want to make sure that's clear.
Yeah, I agree with Chair Bennett Woods. I see what she's saying. If we open up that can, then we have to expand probably some of the other bullet points in the same manner, perhaps.
Yeah.
Okay.
So for bullet point three, what would be... Chair Bennett Woods,
I think...
I'm good with it, how it is.
Yes, and that's why this discussion is important. I think in listening, I think it's fine. And then the chair will know what the duty is, obviously, to the commission and how that would flow from there.
Okay. Right, do we have any other comments on this?
None for me.
So, Commissioner Bennett Woods, back to, I just want to make sure that I got the wording correct. Back to bullet point two. Is the wording you suggested serving in an advisory capacity to the director? The commission will comment on any additions or changes in the policies and procedures of the office?
Actually, after that discussion, and going back and reading the sentence where the way this is written, put programmatic oversight rather than what the commission needs to do, you have actually made what the director needs to do. So the way it's written is probably, given the sentence that it's bulleted under, it's probably okay the way it is. I mean, it's the director responding here and not the commission. So the director providing updates and seeking advice and providing notice. So I think the way it's written is fine.
Okay. All right, do we have any further comments or discussion? One item in the financial oversight is that it may be difficult to see. There's a note in there because a new policy came down from the state regarding credit card charges and that they have to be approved monthly. So I will need to rewrite that bullet point, and I have not had an opportunity to do that yet. But just to say that we have to approve the monthly credit card charges.
So do you want a motion to approve as with that amendment?
Yeah, I think that would be the most efficient way to do this.
Okay, so this is Commissioner Bennett Woods, and I move to approve this amendment to the bylaws to include an amendment to the last bullet point under fiscal oversight to comply with state requirements.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. The motion is approved, and the oversight role will be added into the bylaws. The next item on our agenda is discussion of the vice chair and discussion and election of the vice chair. So we talked about this last time, that Commissioner Kelly has had to resign from the commission, and we are in need of a vice chair. Do we have any discussion or nomination of a vice chair?
Well, that's not like that there is anyone jumping at this issue. Can I, before we get into that, may I ask just for a second, because this would help put a vice chair into context, what are the steps to fill, or what steps have been taken to fill that empty commissioner seat?
Debbie, I know you've sent an email about this. Do you want to just summarize what's happened so far?
I must have missed an email. That's
you sent it to me.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm sorry. I don't want to waste time if I've missed something. Go right ahead.
This is Debbie. The Commissioner Kelly's seat was a governor appointment, and so she has submitted her resignation directly to the governor's office. At the time when she submitted it, the staff in the governor's office that are responsible for oversight of boards and commissions were out on vacation for a couple weeks. So they should be back now, and it'll be Sophia's responsibility to coordinate with the governor's office to find out what they need. So that's a long way to say in a nutshell that not a lot has been done aside from formalizing her resignation.
So if I'm remembering from the last time we had to have a new commission appointed, it did take a few months for that process to happen. So it sounds like we might be in that same path.
Right, and it's hard to tell because the last vacancy we had to fill was a Supreme Court appointment. So I don't necessarily know that it'll be the same this time, but I think it's wise to assume that it will be a little while.
I also think it took pressing last time. So it is something we want to stay on and regularly inquire about the status of it. There is an office in the governor's office. There's an office that does this. So It would make sense for Sophia to do or the chair, either one, to do a direct contact with that office and check back in on the status on a pretty regular basis.
And this is Mark. I'm sorry. I dropped off. I heard that Sophia has the responsibility to check into that.
Yes, although I, you know, we didn't have a director back when we were replacing Sherry, so I did that. I don't think it would hurt for the chair to also just establish contact with that particular office within the governor's office.
Okay.
Just to establish that relationship and a channel of communication for status updates on it. I mean, it is a different process in the governor's office. There is an office that just does this, that manages the various commissions and does the appointments and so forth. So there's a much more direct line of communication for it.
Okay. Walker,
Chair Lester,
try to get that channel open. Uh-huh. Yes.
So let me, I'm just going to speak for myself. I do not have the capacity to take on a vice chair role, okay? But here's my question, really. Can we keep the vice chair role vacant until we have the fifth commissioner filled as well? Because I'm wondering if that would be more appropriate. Not that that person may or may not, you know, fill that role, but I'm wondering if that should be the priority before we put the vice chair in place. Now, that also comes down to if the chair can do certain things, where's the next chain of command? I don't have the bylaws in front of me, and you know, obviously, but that's just the thought I had. I didn't hear my fellow commissioners self-nominating, if you will, so I'm just wondering what is, right? I mean, so I'll speak for
This is a hard sell. This is a hard sell. Yeah, you know, I think that the concern is just that if I am not able to perform the chair duties, and, you know, I don't believe we have another chain of command.
I think it's important to appoint somebody. I've already done this role, and I did it at a time that I think I was particularly suited for it because we were trying to shepherd a bill through the legislature, and I had some experience with that. I think at this point in the process, part of the value of Kelsey to Sophia is, in fact, her attorney role and her knowledge and insight of that community, which I don't have as much. So I think commissioners in are the more appropriate and just the not so much appropriate, but the better choice, not for this year, but moving into the following year. And I would support
that. And this is Commissioner. Oh, I'm sorry, Deb.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that I wish I could throw my hat into the ring. I can't. I'm kind of at capacity with what I'm doing already. So to the extent that this would add to what I'm already doing, I just can't in good conscience take on this role. I know no one asked me, but I'm just throwing that out there.
Okay. Debbie, you know, obviously we can't force someone to be a vice chair, and I'm not comfortable doing that. People can only take the responsibilities that they're able to take.
It
seems like what we have to do.
But somebody has to do it. I mean, we don't have another option if Kelsey is unavailable. I don't even think you necessarily have to commit to it for the entire time. Somebody could step in and be nominated as even an interim vice chair while we're waiting for that appointment, but we really need something in place in case Kelsey can't perform her duties.
Well, can it be on an ad hoc basis if there is truly that issue, that the three commissioners, if that was the case, could then determine who could act as the interim vice chair?
That's just not appropriate. There's a chain of command the purpose of the one of the purposes of the vice chair role is to prepare someone to assume the chairmanship. I will go ahead and self-nominate myself because this is just too important. We have to do this and we have to move forward with it. But I think it's really important, Kelsey, when you contact the governor's office and just talk to them about the fact that, you know, we have a vacancy, that part of the qualifications for that vacancy are a willingness to assume a leadership role. This is a five-person commission, and we need two leadership positions at all times. So, I mean, that just has to be part of what people are willing to do if they want to sit on the commission. So I will self-nominate for the moment because we need to have a vice chair. We need to have somebody ready to step in.
Okay. Thank you, Deb. Would you like that as an interim basis or for the year?
It sounds like there's not much other option at this point in time. I certainly don't think a brand new commissioner that we may not even see for 3 or 4 months is going to be ready or feel comfortable 6 months later to assume the chairship. So.
Well, let me speak for myself again that, and I don't want to do this in a public commission meeting, but my position on that is, of course, we need to realize that all of us would serve in a leadership position. I'm looking at 2021, quite frankly, and so that's why I put myself out there and stated where I'm at. But if that becomes, that's a different kind of agenda item, right, to talk with, the commissioners who are currently serving, and if that becomes an issue, this is about the commission and the Office of Public Guardian, not about individual commissioners. So if that becomes an issue, then I think we need to have discussion on that issue and what the expectations are, and if a commissioner can't meet certain expectations for whatever reason, they have a fiduciary duty to the commission and the office first and foremost. So I think what you're bringing up is very fair, and that should be, if needed, a discussion point. Kelsey, we don't want to leave our chair hanging out there, and we also, anyone who's going to step into that vice chair role, whether it's appointment for the term or it's interim, has to be able, ready, and prepared to step into full chair should something happen to our chair or there's a need. So I understand what you're saying, Chair Bennett-Woods, and I couldn't agree more. Hopefully we can get another commissioner and things will look, different 6 months from now than they do currently.
And this is Commissioner Zinn, I will continue to reevaluate my own situation. I'm not trying to be difficult. I have some personal things going on where I don't want to take on a role that I'm not going to be able to fulfill pursuant to my fiduciary duties, but I understand the issue that we're facing, and I will continue to evaluate my availability to the extent that at some point I can take that over if that becomes an issue. And obviously I know Chair Bennett-Woods has done so much for this commission already and has served in a leadership role, so it is unfortunate you have to step up and do that again, but it is appreciated given the circumstances that we're facing.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll take a motion to have. I'm sorry. I thought, did someone else speaking?
Sorry, Kelsey. I was just saying that we need a motion right as you were saying it. So go ahead.
All right. I'll hear a motion for Deb Bennett-Woods to be elected as vice chair.
I will make that motion.
All right. Second?
I will second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Am I supposed to vote?
The motion passed?
Yeah, you can vote on yourself.
Yes.
All right. The motion passes. Thank you, Commissioner Bennett-Woods.
So the next item on our agenda is the director report. Sophia?
Thank you. Sorry, I couldn't find my mute button. All right. So you should have received the director report and attachments. Some of the attachments went out in follow-up emails because I did not receive them in time for the initial sending out of the director report. I have a few updates to the report, starting with the budget and MOU update. I sent out attachments related to fiscal year 22 budget amendments that the Office of State Planning and Budgeting made certain adjustments, two different adjustments or adjustment types. The first was related to health benefits, life, and dental benefits. So the judicial budget manager, Hugh Wilson, submitted budget amendments on our behalf for the office to be in line with those adjustments. And so attachment two is the Office of State Planning and Budgeting health, life, dental budget amendment. And there's not much to it. It gives you a little background, and it just basically says that this adjustment will result in a cash fund spending authority reduction of $1,779. And then the second adjustment that the OSPB made was related to across-the-board salary increases for state employees. That is shown in Attachment 3, the OSBP ABA budget amendment. And again, the judicial budget manager submitted that budget amendment on behalf of our office to be in line again with the state adjustments. And this will cost $10,396 in cash fund spending authority. If anyone has more detailed questions than that, I will have to take those probably back to Hugh Wilson and get back to you on that. Any questions on those budget amendments?
I don't have any.
Okay. Moving on, interrupt me if you do. Moving on, the MOU with Judicial and SCAO was finally fully executed by Judicial. We sent that out as attachment four later once it was updated. It took us too much time to get that fully executed. But that will be posted on the website probably by the end of the month. We're trying to actually update the website and get a lot of more information up on there. But that was provided to the commission and to the public members that are signed up for our OPG emails. Next update is on the SMART Act hearing. That hearing was this past Monday. We did send out and post the presentation that I prepared for it's actually a performance plan to be in line with the SMART Act statute. I did not get any questions from the Joint Judiciary Committee, just comments from the Chair Lee that he's just thankful for us taking on this challenge of creating the office, and he was around when the initial legislation was introduced, and he is aware that there's a significant need for our office. So that was a nice comment, but that was there were no other questions or comments on the presentation, and I don't know if any of the commissioners were able to listen in if anyone else has any comments or questions regarding the SMART Act hearing.
All time. I unfortunately, this is Commissioner Lesko, I unfortunately had a meeting run long and I was not able to listen in, but sounds like everything went well.
This is Maureen Welch. I'm at a point of clarification.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm just wondering if the office sent out the announcement of the smart hearings to interested stakeholders on your mailing list in advance of the meeting to notify them of the meeting.
I don't recall, Ms. Welch. I know we discussed it at the December's meeting, and it's been in the director's report, the date and the time of the hearing. I don't know that we sent out an additional specific reminder for the meeting.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. I encourage the board or the director to do that in the spirit of transparency whenever you appear at the Capitol to send an announcement out to us, since we're the public is funding this office. Thank you.
Thank you. I will do that in the future. I appreciate you bringing that up. All right.
Do we have...
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just wondering if there was any other items on the director's report?
Yes. I just wanted to, let me see. The only other updates is we do have upcoming additional trainings for myself and the Public Guardians. In February, Atlantis Community Incorporated, that is going to provide some information and training to us. They can provide some placement options for individuals in the community that we can serve. And then in March, we will have a disability cultural competency training given by the Julie Ruskin, the executive director, and some of her staff from the Colorado Cross Disability Coalition. And moving down the director report, just an update on page 4 to the referrals. We now have 29 active guardianship cases, and we have 24 that are pending in court proceedings. We have, of course, some more. We're getting really consistent referrals now, so we're getting probably 2 or 3 a week. Just as quickly as we can get all the information from referring parties, we're able to accept cases. We have not really declined. This is an update, and I spoke about this at the SMART Act hearing. Initially, we had declined 2 cases out of Fort Logan, but we have received updated information on those. And so we, at this point, have not declined any referrals unless they were just didn't provide us any information on if there were streamlined referrals. That is, I think we're doing pretty well with people knowing what to refer to us and us being able to accept those referrals. We did have an increase in streamlined referrals. So we actually had an increase from Arapahoe County. We received 2 more referrals from them. Boulder County, that's a whole new county that's now starting to refer to us. We received 2 from Boulder County, and we've received 2 more from El Paso County. And then we have Huerfano County that is now also starting to do streamlined referrals to us. We have 3 from that county. Another new county is La Plata County. We received 2 referrals from them. And Los Animas County, that's a new county. We received 2 streamlined referrals for them. So obviously, as you guys are aware, those streamlined referrals are to help collect data. Those parties making those referrals are aware that we cannot serve clients in those counties yet. And the last update I have, moving down to the data gathering process on page 6. I am in the process of scheduling a meeting with the Denver Department of Public Safety regarding a data gathering partnership. So this would include information on 911 calls, the cost that some members in the community use 911 and the fire department and the like to get services, even though that's not really the appropriate service that they need. So trying to work on kind of that data to show that our office can assist in decreasing those costs to the public safety department. And those are all my updates from the director report that was submitted last week.
Okay. Are there any comments or questions on the director report?
Not for me. Thank you, Sophia and team. I know you've been very busy.
None for me. Thank you.
Okay.
Carol,
thank you,
so
Sophia.
Before we move on, I did mean to just announce my thanks, always, of course, to the commission, but I wanted to recognize that all of our staff, today is marks their 1-year anniversary with the office, and so I wanted to recognize that and thank them for their service.
Congratulations. It's been quite a year.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, congratulations. It sounds like you're getting some consistent referrals.
Madam Chair, point of clarification. This is Rob Hernandez. The director had mentioned Huerfano County. How many referrals did you say that you got from Huerfano County?
Yes, this is Sophia. We received 3 referrals.
From Huerfano County, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So is there any further discussion of the director's report? Okay. The next item on the agenda is the follow-up discussion of the interim evaluation. However, that's an HR matter that would need to be heard in executive session. And Commissioner Bennett Woods has just had an emergency and has had to get off the call. So I don't believe that we have the sufficient number of commissioners to have this discussion. Debbie, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So this has been an item that's been on the agenda for some time, and we may need to do a special meeting to hear this so that we can get this off of the agenda. All right. But since we don't have that meeting, we can move to public comment. It looks like the meeting will finish up a little bit early today. So do we have any public comment?
Yes, this is Maureen Welch. I'd like to make public comment.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. I wanted to mention that this meeting at the beginning didn't acknowledge that the last meeting was canceled because of problems with the ENDA. So I think that needed to be noted for some of the members of the public that may have been excluded from the last meeting that it actually didn't happen and it was canceled. I don't think there was any acknowledgement of that at the beginning of this meeting. So we may want to add that into the record for members of the public that might have tuned in today or reviewing the paper records online and saying, wait, there's nothing from that meeting. I think it was on the 17th, wasn't it? Anyway, there's nothing about that meeting. Well, it's because it was canceled. And then I also wanted to make a point about today's director's report. We received in the posted information
and also the shared information, all of the budget information. And I really think as the fiscal supervisor of this office that the board had a fiscal responsibility to actually walk through that budget and understand it prior to it being submitted, rather than just having a one-sentence summary that Hugh submitted this. I really think there needs to be more fiscal oversight of this group. I'm very glad that you all finally got your oversight documents prepared, but if you recall, those of you that were on the commission many, many, many months ago or years ago, since I've been following it that long as well, there was actually discussion prior to the hiring of the director that all these documents should have been in place prior to the hiring of the director. So now Ms. Alvarez has been in the office since October, so that's over a year and 4 months, and she had no understanding of what the role of the commission was for oversight. So I just want to put in the record that this was my concern from the beginning. She's gone through almost $1 million of taxpayer money, and there has been no fiscal oversight. There was no understanding in policy, procedure, or bylaws as to what authority the commission had over her role. So it's really, really important when we're talking millions of dollars that the commission step up to their fiduciary duty to the taxpayers, to the governors, to everybody in the state of Colorado, and do their due diligence. I'm also concerned that there seems to be a waning support with the commissioners themselves, the inability to retain commissioners. We've had several resignations. Now we have to, we had to kind of beg for someone to step up to be the vice chair. I'm concerned about this energy of waning interest in this very important and very expensive office. And my last point today is going to be that the discussion today I found very interesting. I also found it rather difficult to feel like I'm participating, and that's why I did file my Colorado Civil Rights complaint, because I've been denied full participation in this public body. You are voting on things without getting public input, and that's the whole point of having public comment after every agenda item prior to the commission taking an action. So that is, I know some of you are probably thinking, why is Maureen, you know, pursuing this civil rights complaint? Well, other bodies allow us to comment after everything, because I would have made comments on the director's report. I would have said, hey, let's go through the budget items. We need more clarification here. But because you're relegating me to a few minutes at the end of the meeting, I am not able to participate. And it's not that I want to be on the commission. It's that I have the right as a member of the public to fully participate in a public offering of this meeting. So I just wanted to clarify that for the commission. I also wanted to let the commission and members of the public, so you can put this in the minutes, that I am responding to the Assistant Attorney General's response to my civil rights complaint, and that will be submitted tomorrow, and that will move forward. I was very disappointed that the commission was not interested in doing voluntary mediation with the Office of Civil Rights, CCRD. I have filed other civil rights complaints and done the voluntary free mediation process, and we were able to make a lot of progress. And I expressed interest in doing that. However, OPG apparently said, no, we don't want to do it. So that's very disappointing. And the last thing is I just want to reiterate my point of clarification earlier that it really is the responsibility of the office to communicate whenever they appear in front of a committee or make an appearance at the Capitol. And when Sophia came on, I met with her in her beautiful office there in the City County building that looked over the Mint. And I said, you know, we want a commitment to transparency, and she agreed she would. Well, I'm not seeing that follow through. So please, I'd love to see that in the future. Full transparency, send out a note, announcement, just like a meeting. You should notify everyone of your appearance. So I sure hope that 2021 is better than 2020, but I still have grave concerns that we're not getting input from the public prior to actions by this commission. Thank you very much.
And I'll go next. This is Rhonda, the public guardian. Thank you, Sophia, for recognizing us as our work within the Colorado Office of Public Guardianship. My apologies that I had to sign on a little late than the time that allowed, but again, this is Rhonda Sanchez. Thank you so much for all your hard work, Sophia and America.
All right. Thank you for that. Do we have any other public comment?
Yes, Madam Chair, this is Rob Hernandez, and I would just want to add to some of Maureen's comments. You know, Maureen and I have been following the actions and the machinations and the processes of the Office of Public Guardian for quite some time. It's not like we just showed up yesterday, and yet I've given my email several times to whoever is taking minutes and have yet to receive any notices, any updates, anything from the commission. And so I would be happy to give it to you again right now. Whoever's taking notes, it is rmhern1@gmail.com. That's rmhern1@gmail.com. And in addition, you should probably know that there are a lot of priorities for the state's limited budget. And the Joint Budget Committee probably is probably having to take some hard looks at what's going to survive and what's not. Legislators will tell you that if the bill they submit requests any money, the bill is not going to go anywhere. There are priorities that are already being set. One of them is that the state of Colorado has an urgent need to pay unemployment benefits to those that are unemployed through no fault of their own. And the state of Colorado has the fifth highest unemployment rate in the country. And that's for a number of reasons, and that's just the state of Colorado did the right thing to get COVID under control. And as a result, the price was the economy, which led to a lot of people being unemployed. Now, that might take a while before that comes back, but right now the state had to turn around and borrow almost probably $1 billion from the federal government in order to continue to pay their portion of unemployment benefits to the people that deserve them. So when that cranks up again, you're going to see that's a need that they have to fulfill. So that's an important need. They have to do that. So just prepare that the Office of Public Guardianship might either get cut back or defunded somewhat or might be trimmed way, way back, because legislators remember last year that a lot of their cash funds were sent to the general fund to prop up the current budget. And in terms of stimulus money coming, the earliest that could probably happen, and I talked to a legislator in Washington, D.C., and he told me, he said, Rob, the soonest we'll be able to even get to talking about the president's stimulus package is probably going to be mid-March because they're dealing with other issues in the Senate. So, and even then there's pushback on the amount that there is because there's a lot of concern, a lot of worry about the amount of debt that the government is taking on or the country is taking on. So it's not something that I think that you can count on. You should probably be able to figure what is the least that you can count on. Instead of requesting more money, going back to the Joint Budget Committee saying this is what we absolutely have to have to continue our operations. And having been around government for as long as I have, if you do that, that might suit you better than asking for more money that probably you won't get. So just be prepared that there are probably going to be agencies that have to furlough people. And instead of laying them off, now they may not furlough them for days at a time, but so far the governor has been very good about making sure that state employees haven't been furloughed, and they haven't received they are pretty much resigned to the fact that as I talk to state employees and I talk to the union that represents them, they know that they're not going to get any pay increases this year. And they're already 16% under the market for comparable jobs. So they know that that's going to happen. So there's going to be a lot of competition for limited funds. So the OPG should probably position themselves as that, yes, you do provide a service, but you don't want to be asking for more money that you did last year. You should probably be going saying, this is the minimum amount that we can deal with. We need this to survive. And that might include furloughing some employees or laying some folks back. So just be prepared for that. The budget is going to be tight this year. It was tight last year. It's going to be tighter this year. So those are the only comments that I have for right now, and thank you very much for listening, and please be sure that I'm included in on the minutes. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. That's all I have to say for now.
Okay, is there any further public comment? Right, hearing none, I'll hear a motion to adjourn.
This is Commissioner Shia. Before we adjourn, I just want to respond to the people who are always available and always make public comments that we need it and we appreciate it. And I can tell you in listening to every public comment we get at each meeting, needs to be taken very seriously. I know that the commission does, and we need to be mindful of our role as it relates to input we get from the public comment. And I don't think as a commission as a whole that we say that enough. You know, we are in this role to serve and to make sure that the public is aware of what we're doing as well. So I just wanted to state that from my perspective. Even if it feels that public comment is critical, that's not the intent. It is to give a perspective that we simply can't get sitting on the commission unless we have public comment. And that goes for not just those who comment consistently, but any public comment we get. So I wanted to put that on the record for a minute as well. Thank you.
Any further comment?
Yeah, thank you, Mark. Thank you, Marco. That's good to hear. I would just like to add on to that comment saying that public comment is not participating in a process under the Civil Rights Act. So it's great to have a comment, but that's not full participation. Thank you.
This is Jim Tatton. And I'd like to kind of build upon that a little bit in that the reason why I have an interest in listening to the work of the commission is that it's can be very, very educational and informative. And I think my real ultimate concern is that the work really can have a positive or at times a negative impact on individuals, families, and communities. And that's why I have an interest in the work of the commission as a member of the public. I think the work is very important. I think the discussions are very helpful. And most importantly, I think the discussions and the public participation help guide not only the commission itself, but also the public in advancing the state action towards the goals of the legislation. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comment or discussion?
Yes, Madam Chair, this is Rob Hernandez. Just one more thing, is that if you take a close look at Senate Bill 129, you know, that was crafted very well, mostly by the Colorado Bar Association in terms of creating a supported decision-making process rather than jumping to guardianship for people. So that is something that legislators are talking about. It doesn't cost money. People step up to the plate to do it voluntarily, to provide services for people that have no one. And so that might be the new model that's coming forward because they're finding, and there's other larger organizations that are starting supporting it, Colorado counties, the ARC, other organizations are saying that probably is the route that we need to go because getting guardianship means that person's rights are gone. And so they would rather have that in the interim supported decision-making before making the jump to guardianship. And so that is a discussion that will probably keep going. So that is probably something that the Office of Public Guardianship should begin to embrace. That's all I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hernandez. And let me just say that I provided the supported decision-making language to the Bar Association for 129. And I can assure you that's one of my interest areas, and that's also an area that the commission and the office have long expressed support for.
And thank you very much for that, Madam Chair. Thank you for that, because it's important. It provides support for individuals. So thank you for support of that and, you know, and your contribution to that language. So thank you very much.
Okay. Is there any further comment or discussion? Hearing none, I'll hear a motion to adjourn.
I so move. This is Commissioner Zinn.
Yes, I'll second that.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.